Well, again, this is Jim Rao, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Last week we talked about the sanctity of human life, and that was from Genesis 1, verse 26, when God said, "Let us make man in our image." And it was not just God, it was Jesus Christ, God, and the Holy Spirit were there. And so that is the Trinity in evidence right there in the first chapter of Genesis. And so we understand that we are created in the image of God. Every person born and unborn is special, is created in the image of God. We are unique. You are unique. And you are uniquely created for a purpose known to God, and He will reveal your purpose to you if you ask and if you seek Him and if you dedicate your life to Him. He will reveal your purpose to you so that you do not have to wander around in the wilderness here on this earth, that you can know what your purpose is, you can know why you were created, what is your highest calling, what is your destiny, and that is God's will for your life, beloved, that you find out, that you seek Him. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings or the glory of man to search it out. And so you are commanded, you are purposed to find out what your destiny is, why you were created. Well, in Genesis 1, verse 28, after God had created male and female, then He outlines for us, or He illuminates for us, what is the second pillar of God's kingdom here on this earth. This is what holds the societies of the earth together, the societies of all the individual countries together, and it is very plain, it is very simple. Anybody can understand it. Even young children can understand it. Chapter 1, verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth.'" And so God said to male and female, "Be fruitful and multiply. I have created you for a purpose. That purpose is to procreate. That purpose is to bring forth children." And we find out later in the scripture that God's will is that we bring forth children that are committed and dedicated to Him. And so the family structure was created to be the tool by which God evangelizes the whole world. The family structure was created, male and female, to procreate, to bring forth and multiply children, and then send those children out to various parts of the earth, to various parts of the world, shoot them out like arrows, and they would then evangelize and take the message of the gospel, take the message of Jesus Christ to people all over the earth. And so that is God's plan. That is God's will. Male and female were designed physically, emotionally, spiritually, and in every way mutually beneficial to each other, mutually complementary to each other. And they were designed so that the family structure would be the place where children would be raised. It all sounds so simple, but it can be very complicated, as we have made it here in America. But it is so simple. You bring man together with woman, they procreate, they make children, and even young children can understand this. Why do little girls like to play with dolls and little boys like to play with tractors? They're fulfilling their roles that they see. When they see their parents, the dad out in the field for the most part, and the mother raising the children for the most part, and it's very simple that even the young children can see it and play it out and act it out at a very young age. Well, in Genesis 2:18, we'll bring this out just a little bit more. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Well, at this time, Adam was by himself. God had given Adam his job to do. He had given him his marching orders, and God said to Adam, cultivate the garden in which I have placed you. Cultivate the garden. And so Adam had his job to do, but he was alone and he was lonely. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Well, that doesn't mean that we don't have times in our life when we are single. And that's a whole nother message. That's a whole nother sermon. Sometimes God has us to be single. There have been problems in marriage. There may have been problems in dating relationships. There's times when we just have to accept the fact that we are single and accept the fact that this is God's will for this season in my life and maybe for the rest of your life. You may be single. I don't know what your particular situation is, but I know the grace of God is sufficient for you. Oftentimes, single people long to be married, and that's okay. That's okay to desire to be married, but other times, single people are sufficient the way they are. They have the grace of God to continue with strength in their singleness, and so that is God's will also. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to read it, Paul talks about the blessings of being single and the opportunity we have as single people to share the gospel, to go, to move here and there, to travel, to be unobligated, you might say, or unattached to a family situation or a wife who would maybe not want to travel with us, especially if she had children. And so there are opportunities to share the gospel. There are opportunities to expand the kingdom for single people that may not be available for those who are married. And so you just have to pray about your situation. You have to pray and see if the Lord wants you to marry, see if the Lord brings a wife to you or brings a husband to you. And in this situation, God knew that Adam would be better off with a helper, with a helpmate comparable or suitable for him. And so God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper. Genesis 2:22, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And so God created Eve from Adam. The rib was taken out of Adam's side, and God fashioned that rib into woman. And so Eve was complementary to Adam, and Adam was the protection for Eve, because Eve came, the rib came out from under the arm or the protective arm of Adam. And so in verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Well, there it is, beloved. There is the picture of marriage. It is God's will that when we find a mate, when we see a mate or seek a mate and find a mate, that then we become one flesh with them, not outside of marriage, not outside the sacred bond of marriage, but within the sacred bond of marriage, within the commitment and the spoken vows and all those things that a marriage ceremony represents. It brings male and female together, and they are declaring their intent to live together through thickness and thinness, or rich and poor, and sickness and health, good and bad, however you want to call it, that they will be committed to each other for all the rest of their life, that they will be committed to help each other even when they're sick, even when they're poor, even when there's no food in the pot. And so this is God's will. And of course, the marriage ceremony then expresses to the world through the vows that this is the intent of the male and the female. And of course, then the marriage is consummated. It is God's will that there be no sexual consummation, there be no sexual activity until after the vows are made and after the vows are taken and received. And so then in verse 24, Genesis 2, it says, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father. You're no longer in your mother and father's house. You're no longer in your mother and father's family, but you are then with your wife starting a new family, you're starting a new house, and you are preparing then to raise your own children, to raise your own family, and then your house then becomes your house, and your family is your responsibility, and you leave your mother and your father, your wife leaves her mother and your father, her father, and you become committed to each other in the holy bond of matrimony. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Well, they were not ashamed because they were operating within the perfect will of God. They were not ashamed because they had no guilt and they had no sin. And of course, we know that didn't last too long. The shame came when Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so they found shame. They put shame upon themselves. They incurred the wrath of God. They brought sin into the world. And so we have now that situation that we all deal with. But that is the plan of God, that if He has a woman for you, you pray, you ask the Lord, bring this woman to me. But remember this, brothers out there, men out there listening, that Adam had already been given his job to do. He was working in the garden. He was told to cultivate the garden before Eve was even created. And so if you're single out there and you're listening to me today, you get busy in the kingdom of God. You get busy finding out what your job is, what God has for you. And when you get busy doing that, then you will need a helper. Then you will need a helpmate, and you will need someone suitable to help you. And at that time, God may bring a person to help you. He may have a person out there already picked out that He knows is going to be placed by your side. But when you get busy going about your work for the kingdom, or your work for the society, your work, then God says, okay, now you're ready for a mate. Well, in Romans 1:26, we see the devil's perversion of God's plan for man and woman. We see the perversion that the spirit of the Antichrist brings into the family situation. And so this is what we have going on here in America. And I can tell you, beloved, after coming here from Africa, where sexual perversion in Africa, as in homosexuality and transgender and all of that stuff, is barely even on the radar over there in Africa, and it is so prevalent here in America. We think we're a liberated society. We see ourselves as such an advanced culture, such an advanced society, and I grant you, materially, we are that way. Materially, America is a tremendous nation. It's a tremendous culture. We have all the finest of anything that anybody could want in terms of material blessings. But spiritually, beloved, we are going down a dark hole very fast. We are going a dark tunnel very quickly. And beloved, we need to turn around these things that are going on in America. In Romans 1:26, here is the devil's version. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about what was happening in his culture at that time. For this reason, they serve the creature rather than the Creator. He's talking about these people who started to worship each other. They didn't worship the Creator. They started to worship each other. They started to trade the natural for the unnatural. They started to trade that which was good and God blessed for that which was not good and was blessed by the devil or instigated by the devil. That is to say, males with males and females with females. And so Paul says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature or what is unnatural, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use or the natural compatibility of the woman, leaving the natural use of the woman, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. In other words, God said that when they became enamored and started to idolize the creature, idolize and worship the creation, the creature, instead of the creator, that he gave them up to their vile passions and they started to do unnatural acts. They started to do things that he had not planned for them. It was a complete perversion of the perfect plan of God. And so he says that they received the penalty of their error, which was due. And I don't know exactly what that penalty was, but we know that in many cultures around the world, the homosexual community has suffered tremendously from HIV/AIDS and other kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. And so this is a penalty of their error, and they are reaping what they have sown. We reap what we sow. When we sow to the flesh, we reap that which is fleshly. When we sow to corruption, we reap corruption. And so it is God's will then that we do things God's way, that we adhere to his plan and we submit to his plan, and we will receive blessings. We will sow blessings and we will receive blessings. We'll sow goodness. We will reap righteousness. Well, in verse 28, Romans 1:28, and it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased," or some translations say, "a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting." Well, beloved, we don't want to be given over to a debased or a reprobate mind. It's hard enough sometimes to figure out what's going on when your mind is functioning properly and you have all of your faculties in order, but to be given over by God, reprobate or a debased mind, puts us in a very, very bad situation. And you can see what's happening in America. When I come here from Africa, I can see the confusion. I can see the distortion, the perversion that is now taking over the thinking of many, many people here in America. Many of our young children are confused about their sexual identity. Many young children are starting to entertain thoughts of transgender living and homosexual life, and it's just a curse upon this country. There are states in America, such as California, that are teaching the extent of this perversion to young children, even as young as kindergarten, the blessings of being gay, the blessings of being transgender, and all of this stuff. And I just pity the people who are trapped in this kind of thinking. I pity the people who have been given over to a debased mind. We don't hate them as Christians. We don't hate them. We're not homophobic. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of anybody. I have fear of the Lord, and that is all I'm afraid of. But to think about all these young children that are being led astray, that are being caused to stumble, led down a dark path here in America to satisfy somebody's twisted version of sexuality and twisted version of what it means to be a male or a female. It's just absolutely disgusting. It's absolutely frustrating. And beloved, we need to turn back to God. We need to see God's plan. We need to read God's plan. And we need to implement God's plan in our life, through our churches, through our schools, through our society. And turn back to God and cry out and turn from our wicked ways, and God will heal our land. Well, it gets worse in Romans 1:29. Then we look to see what is the consequence of a debased mind, what is a consequence of being a reprobate. And God lays it all out here. Paul lays it all out in verse 29. And beloved, this is where we are. I hate to say it, but this is where we are in America. And if things don't get better, it's going to be a dark, dark period in the history of America. But it says in verse 29 that they are filled with all unrighteousness. That is, these ones that God gives over to a reprobate mind. They are filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, these people who have been given over to a reprobate mind, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And that's why they're teaching them in the schools. That's why they're trying to indoctrinate young children to get them full of confusion, full of perversion. I heard on the news the other day that some famous actress in Hollywood has a 7-year-old daughter who has declared herself to be transgender. Can you imagine? 7 years old, and now she's considering herself to be transgender. I mean, this is just beyond comprehension, and it is indoctrination and brainwashing and cult activity, basically, is what it is. And this is totally outside the will of God. This is total perversion, and it is going to cause a reaping of great pain and a reaping of great sorrow here in America. Already young people, even under 10 years of age, are committing suicide because they're confused about their gender. When I was a young person, all boys wanted to do was play outside, play football and baseball and go swimming. And the girls wanted to dance and comb their hair, I guess. I don't know what all they did. But what we see now is that these who have been given over to a reprobate mind, they know the righteous judgment of God. They know the precepts of God. They know what they're doing is against God's nature, and that they refuse and they continue to practice their life of perversion, and such things are worthy of death. And not only do they practice the same, but they approve of others who practice them as well. Well, beloved, it's not just those who have been given over to a reprobate mind that practice these kind of unrighteous activities. There are many, many here in America that are in rebellion to God's plan. They're in rebellion to God's word. But I tell you today, the answer to your problems, if you have sexual identity confusion, if you are confused about who you are or how you were born or why you were born or what purpose you have here on this earth in regards to your sexuality or any other aspect of your life, if you will just pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to you, He will reveal it to you. He can straighten out every place where you are bent. If you have had homosexual relationships or transgender activities or transgender operations or whatever, God can straighten out every place that you are bent. By the grace of God, I have been able to lead many people who are bent, lead them into a straight life. I've been able to lead many people who are bent. Even one particular situation, I prayed for a lady who had been in a lesbian relationship for 8 years, laid hands on her and prayed for her. She went home from that meeting, packed up her bags, moved out of that lesbian relationship, and she moved in with an elder of the church and started to live a straight life that was blessed then by the Lord. And so God can straighten out everything that is bent. Everything that the demonic kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist brings into a person's life, the power and the blood of Jesus can straighten it out. The power and the blood of Jesus can deliver people who are in the most awful situations, people who are in the most rebellion to God, who are worshiping each other and the creature instead of the Creator. God can set them free. The power of Jesus, the power of blood of Jesus can forgive you of all sin and all unrighteousness. And if you will turn to Him and seek Him, you have not because you ask not, but if you will turn to Him and seek Him, He can straighten out everything in your life, not just sexual confusion and sexual perversion, but He can also straighten out drug use and alcohol use and all kinds of rebellion. He can straighten it out. You give it to the Waymaker. You give it to the one who can make things right. Give it to the one who can turn the impossible into the possible. And beloved, you will have a testimony. You will have a testimony. You will have a blessing in your life, and you can live for the kingdom instead of for the devil. Well, I know of which I speak. Some of these things I have participated in, and some of these things I have seen up close and up front, but God can straighten out every bent situation. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and He can do that in your life as well if you give Him the opportunity. Well, beloved, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite you to support us. I invite you to partner with us, not only to keep these radio broadcasts coming, but also for the great projects we have going in Africa, the Children's Home Project, and the Crusades we're lining up for this summer. And so I invite you to partner with us. Listen to the contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. We want to hear from you. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.